Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code SPOTIFY for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Another visitor. Stay a while. Stay forever.
This is The Boop Show, episode 190 for Monday, October 15th, 2018. Hey, everybody. What's going on? You know, if you're not watching the video version of the show, either in archive form or live, you're missing Brian Dunaway dancing every time we start the show. It's really fantastic.
And most of my dancing is mosh related.
Oh,
like
is
the
it?
Mosh pit.
Were you a mosh pit guy?
Of course.
Yeah.
I used to pick up change, do all that stuff.
What did you, if you were at a con, who's con- what concert would you be at where I would see you mosh pitting?
Well, Helmet.
Helmet. Okay. All right. This says a lot about you. It explains a lot after all these years of knowing you.
Gonna mosh me some Helmet.
Yep. Mosh some pit with the Helmet. Helmut.
That's right.
Welcome back to the show, everybody. It's Scott and Brian, and we are here for the Boop Show. And we're deep into fall, folks. Halfway through October, moving up on Halloween. And I was thinking, not this week, but maybe next week, or sometime soon, or maybe it's the week I get, or the Monday I get back from BlizzCon. But I think it might be fun to talk about our favorite scary games of all time.
Ooh, interesting. That's a good one because Scott doesn't do scary games, so it's going to be interesting.
I don't normally, but I can sure tell you the ones that scared me the most because that's how I knew I didn't like them is I would play them, get all scared, and then stop playing them. So
You started a lot of scary games.
Oh, yeah,
I could do it. I could do it. Sure, why not? Nope, can't do it.
Tons of them. Last year I played a bunch of Resident Evil 7, and guess who didn't finish that game? Me,
so
because I can't do that. I'm not finishing that. Are you kidding? That game was scary as hell. They reinvented scary. I've played every single Resident Evil game since 1 on the PS1.
Yeah, yeah.
Ever since those dogs jumped through the window in the hallway, I have been playing Resident Evil.
When you say play, you mean tested.
No, even then, I beat those games. I played those games top to bottom because Resident Evil doesn't scare me until we get to 7. And then suddenly, 7's the scariest damn thing I'd seen in the whole of 2016-17. Like, that thing was just mind-blowingly frightening, I thought. And it changed my whole outlook. I can't play that. I can't play it.
Let's do it. I like this idea. Halloween episode of the Boop Show. Let's see.
Boop.
It will fall that work. That'll be the 29th, right?
All right. I'll make somebody a deal. And this is the only way I'm doing this. I will play all of Resident Evil 7 if someone buys me a discount PC version of it. I'm not going to play it on the PlayStation where I have it currently because I don't want to. But if I had it on PC and I could have a little more control, mouse and keyboard to be specific, I think I'd do it again. But that's the only way I'm doing it. So you guys go find a code or
The reason why you want a PC is because you know you can turn your monitor off quickly because you're sitting right next to the button. You don't want Resident Evil 7 to possess your TV. You don't want that.
Right. And everyone always says, you know, you got to play in the dark. But I could, in my office, my studio here, so I could stream it properly, I'd need to have some lights, you know. I have to turn some lights on.
Yeah.
So I could cheat my way through that game. Anyway, we'll talk about that later. And like I said, you know, upcoming soon, maybe our favorite scary games. I love Halloween. It's my favorite time of year. So.
Oh, wow. Historical low, $14.61.
Who's got it for that?
The Games Planet from the UK, which I sometimes grab games from.
Oh, they just do codes or what? Steam codes?
Just codes, Steam codes.
All right.
Steam codes.
Well,
Steam codes.
Seems like an interesting idea. We'll have to see. Let's dive into this week's paraphernalia here, folks. We're going to talk about the first game on my mind and probably Brian's because he and I both have been playing it, although we've been playing it on different platforms, which I think will be interesting to talk about. Is Call of Duty Black Ops 4. the black opening. No, it's not really
the black opening. That's, and I knew you was playing this because we talked on FilmSack, and as a result, I also play Call of Duty Black Ops 4.
Yeah, so I have it on PC. Brian got it on PlayStation 4 at a Redbox. Have you already taken it back, or you still have it?
No, I rented it for the full 3 days for $7. Mm-hmm. That's right, $7, 3 days of fun.
Yeah. Now, most people are like, oh, that's that new Call of Duty what has the Battle Royale in it.
Correct. And
you are correct. The Blackout mode is part of the game, although there are numerous modes, which we'll get to in a second. But I played the crap out of the PC version so far, and by that, by the crap out of it means I'm crap at it. As usual with Battle Royale games, I'm really not very good. I played shooters for ages. I've been playing since Doom. More than that, I played Wolfenstein, like way back in the day. And I played Quake and Doom and Unreal and Unreal Tournament and Half-Life 1 and all of its mods and games. I played Counter-Strike, the old Counter-Strike mod. I mean,
Which is faster gameplay, Quake 1 or Call of Duty Black Ops 4?
Quake 1.
I think Quake 1.
Quake 1 is a speed monster, dude.
It's so fast.
In fact, if you go play like, actually any of the Quakes, this is true of. 2 was a little slowed down, but 3 was pretty fast. If you go play the new Quake Champions deal, that thing is a speed monster as well. And but I would say in the modern context, like of all the shooters that are popular in consoles, PCs, or whatever right now, I would argue that Call of Duty, since 4, has been a very speedy, fast, mechanically anyway, video game, and it continues to be that now. Now, what I like about it is, if you ever played PUBG and went, oh, this is such a cool concept, but ooh, it's a little rough around the edges. Doesn't seem like it's fully baked. Maybe it feels like a mod. It's got some real jank in it and all that. If you ever felt that way, you'd play this and go, oh, well, this is like that without all the jank. Like, this is a AAA finished experience, and you can tell that, you know, a lot of money was spent to make it super polished and finished.
and that's actually, I have never played PUBG. I did play the Fortnite a little bit, and I have played Call of Duty Black Ops and other Call of Duty games up to Call of Duty Black Ops 2. And I will say that I felt totally lost when I started playing the Blackout.
Well, you should, because if you haven't played any kind of Battle Royale, that's gonna seem weird to you. But as like a genre film fan that you are, you probably love the idea of what this is all based on. I mean, it's based on that game or that movie, Battle Royale. It's a lot like the Hunger Games or whatever. You plop down 100 others and everyone fights to only one standing. Like, it's a pretty genius idea. PUBG took real early advantage of it. There were mods before that, but that was really the first big mainstream thing. And then, you know, Fortnite has grabbed a lot of that attention lately. This thing did something like 3 or 4 times its normal day one PC sales. I don't know how console did. I don't know if those are reported yet. But apparently, off to a good start, and doesn't surprise me. Because what we're dealing with here is a game that everybody kind of knows already in terms of how it feels. Like, Call of Duty, if you've been a gamer in the last 15 years, you played a lot of Call of Duty, whether you're sick of the series or not. And so you know what's up, and you know how it feels and what it's like to shoot in that game, and just kind of know what to expect. And they haven't veered too far from what you know here in terms of like how the characters feel, how they control, how you shoot. But immediately you're like,
I did have a little bit. There was not much difference in what I've played in the past, but I think I had Black Ops 2 on the PC, and I was playing this on the PS4. And I will say that I had some trouble understanding what I needed to do to pick up weapons or anything that was on the ground. Because by the default behavior is to walk up to an item and then hold down PS4, hold down the square button and basically initialize it and then pick it up.
Yeah.
And I did not know what I was doing. I was walking up going, I can't pick it up. I can't pick it up. I gotta go. I gotta pick it up.
Yeah.
See, and
this is a problem, right? Because on PC, you would have just hit E or something and up it came and there you went. I agree with that. And I actually think that if there's any big mistake here, they rely too much on this idea that everybody knows what Battle Royale is at this point. And so they don't really ease you in if you're a newbie to the genre. That being said, there have got to be very few newbies to the genre, but here you are. But you're one of them right here, right?
And but so, here I was, and I rented this from the Redbox, but that does not, you know, exclude me from having to download the massive download, which isn't too massive, but it was still, you know, it's still a 4-hour download just to get to the blackout mode, which is the only mode available to me, and then another 7 hours to download the rest of the content, the campaign.
Is that how they do
and
it?
The zombies. Yeah, that's how mine did it on the PS4.
Yeah.
And so I jumped straight in to the only game mode that was available to me, which was Blackout. And there was no instructions, just, how you doing? Come on, we've been jumping a helicopter and let you go. Bye, have fun. Yep. And it was kind of frustrating for me because I was getting killed almost instantly every time, which is kind of a big penalty when you have to wait for a, you know, a quad to show up, you know, and to get loaded back into the game, mm-hmm. get out of the game, get back in the game. So like my first hour of play was like about maybe 10 minutes of me actually playing
mm-hmm.
and doing stuff. Mm-hmm. It was a little frustrating.
No, I get it. And I think that that's on them to have, they should have made that a better, smoother onboarding process for players who don't know what this is.
But they weren't worried about me.
No, they're not. And they know that. And why spend the money if they know that there's only like one Brian Dunaway for every 4,000 other players? But, you know, I'd spend a decent amount of time in PUBG, a little bit in Fortnite. I never could stand the build mechanic in Fortnite, so I quit early on that. Never interested me at all. Freaking hate it. But the...
I gotta build stuff now!
I know, F that. But this thing doesn't feature any of that. It's just good old-fashioned run around, shoot each other. It's fast. It's furious. You got to play smart, and you got what, second place with your quad yesterday or something?
I did. And I got second place. I don't really know how, other than I kept jumping on my quads. I kept playing quads because you can play, I think what, twos and ones.
Yeah. You can do quads, quads, duos, quad and solo four. By yourself. Yeah.
Right. So quads four, that's four members. I didn't understand at first. I was like, wait, am I on a team? Because I noticed my controller is like orange and it was blue last time. And I'm like, why, what's going on right now? Why is the color changing? And I'm like, I didn't know where my crew was really. And then I'm like, oh, okay, there they are. They're the little, you know, the little arrows. I see them now. And when I finally figured that out and started, you know, chasing after my friends, because there's definitely an advantage to being in quads, because if you're a noob and you're hanging out with three other people and kind of halfway know what they're doing, you get a little protection. So that's what I did. And we landed, and we weren't even like 2 minutes in, and the rest of my squad was like dead. And you know, the guy comes on and goes, "Looks like it's just you now, buddy. Good luck."
Oh yeah,
my voiceover. And so I had jumped in a truck right away, and I kept blowing the horn for the guys to come on, beep beep beep, get in the truck, we gotta go, beep beep. And probably got us killed. But so I drove towards this. I kept putting waypoints in the center of the circle because I didn't want to get caught in the ever closing sky cloud of doom that's coming in to make you get closer and closer in your battle.
Sure.
And so I jumped in ahead toward the center is the best I could. I picked a building so I could kind of hide in there and do that. And that's what I did. And I did not see anybody the whole game.
That is a feature of Battle Royale for sure. Not always, but depending on where you landed and where you're at now and where you are in relation to the closing circle and all that, you may be in a game where, depending on your play style, you may not be seeing people until the very, you know, final couple of waves or whatever. And that can happen.
I kept getting near the epicenter where it was closing. So, I mean, I never had to travel much. I was just like always like there. It's like, oh, it's closing in on me. I must be the center of attention.
Yeah.
So it kept closing in on me and getting closer. And by this point in time, near the end, I was in a house, standing up top of some stairs, fully geared out, going, oh. Don't enter the door.
Yeah.
And so dude comes to the door, and I realize one of the things also I learned very early on, if you shoot, that gives away your position.
Oh yeah.
So
they hear you.
I have all these guns I'm picking up, and I have no idea what they do. None. And I'm afraid to shoot them because I'm afraid I'm gonna reveal my location. So this gun I had would look pretty cool, and I waited, and when that guy comes through the door, my gun went boom. It was like, oh no. Boom. And I just barely killed that guy, but he was, I guess he was number three.
Yeah.
And so then I all, you know, I killed him. My one kill the whole time I've been playing, I come swaggering out and boom, and I'm dead. And yeah, I did the kill cam, and the guy said, "Nice."
He did.
I guess I was easy pickings.
Yeah, but still, you did. That's pretty good. You know,
that was great. It helped my stats like nobody's business.
Sure. Now I have some bad news for you.
Not going to happen again.
You, as you said earlier, you go, no, not that. You could get better and win. Said, I played that while it was downloading the campaign.
Yes.
This game has no campaign.
Well, I'm sorry. I did say campaign. It's actually the multiplayer and the specialist training.
Yes. Plus they have. Yeah. So there is a story with characters, and you play it co-op with somebody, and that's kind of how you work your way through whatever story is there. But this is absolutely not your traditional Call of Duty campaign where, you know, there's a whole mode for the single player story, and then there's a bunch of multiplayer. This is a bunch of multiplayer with a little bit of single player ideas sprinkled in there, but no full campaign. So just bears mentioning to people out there thinking, oh, I'll get this because when I'm not playing this blackout mode, I'll be getting me some story. You may not be getting much. It's kind of not that. So quick differences here. I got it on the PC. It only this game is no longer a Steam game as it has been traditionally. It is exclusively on the Blizzard launcher. So you run the Blizzard launcher, and it's down there sitting next to Destiny as the two games that aren't Blizzard games. On the Blizzard launcher.
I forgot that was going to be a thing.
Yeah, it doesn't bother me once whatsoever. In fact, I like it because I like the Blizzard launcher a lot. And so for me, it's a thing I already trust, and it's fine. This would bug me if it was like, now use the Activision launcher or some BS like that. That would piss me off. But Blizzard's, you know, proven themselves to make a quality thing, and it's fine. So that doesn't bother me at all. But yeah, that's really the main difference. Control-wise, it plays like a first-person shooter, as you might expect. And I'm telling a lot of people something they already know, which is,
yes and no. I think we got exactly what we probably expected, except for the blackout mode. But the rest of it, you know, is pretty straightforward. It's just, you know, back to Call of Duty, Black Ops, and the multiplayer is pretty similar. But I'm with you. I was a little bit disappointed that there was no campaign, because that's where I cut my teeth before I get out into the multiplayer world. And
it's usually what I care about more in these games is the single player story. Right. And so when not having one here does kind of suck. I think the fact that it's a full priced, I think a you know, $10 less game might have been a nice way to say to players, yeah, we know this isn't a, you know, a full whatever. So yeah, I'm with you. And we knew, it's not like this was a surprise. They told us when this was announced, there was no single player campaign in a traditional way. So it's
I haven't done much research on this. There's not a lot of information out there yet about Call of Duty Black Ops, especially reviews. It must have been no really early release. I haven't seen hardly anything on most of my favorite gaming sites, and I've seen very little good YouTube videos that actually give me any good information other than watching bro dudes have a good time. Mm-hmm. Bro dude.
Yeah.
I don't know if there's that much news out there for this. But do you think that Blackout will break out and be free to kind of compete with Fortnite and those kind of games?
Nah,
or is it going to...
I do not think that. I think it'll be a...
Keep it right in there?
I think they'll do it like PUBG's model, which is, this is a premium product. You buy it to play it. They'll put out a bunch of free stuff for it, like new map, new whatever, you know, things like that. But then they'll also have microtransactions for it. Like, I think this is going to be what we've seen lately from a lot of game companies is a mix of those things. I think the fact that Fortnite is 100% free is significant to its growth. But I also think that this is just a thought, and I don't want to piss anybody off, but I don't think anybody wants to pay. Nobody pays for Fortnite. That would never happen. The game would not be so popular. If that was a premium game, it would not have taken on the life that it's taken on. So it's a bad game. I just don't think it has anywhere the legs that it currently has if it wasn't a freemium game.
I'm thinking next year, like, is this going to split the community? Because it's like, okay, you've got multiplayer, and what is the battle royale part of the blackout if you don't have large numbers of people? Will that scale well? I mean, sure, they've thought about
it. I think this is going to just be hugely popular, and people will play it, and it'll have a very long life. I don't think there's anything like the big question for me is more, the way Call of Duty works is they're used to having yearly releases. And this year is a Treyarch game. The year before this was...
Which is always the best cycle, by the way. That is my personal opinion.
Yeah.
I think the Treyarch cycle is always the best.
Well, this is the Treyarch cycle, so enjoy enjoy this, because this is them. And next year, it goes back to the main studio. If they do it next year, I don't know. Mm-hmm. See, that's the question. I don't know. Do they keep doing the same pattern, given that this is now meant to be almost like a platform and not just a game that you played the 1 year and then you're done, you go on to the next year? Like, I don't know. Mm-hmm. If they keep it the way it's been, in theory, next year, everybody's buying Call of Duty Modern Warfare 9 or whatever the name they're going to call it, and there is another blackout mode in it.
Right. That'll be tough, because if you do that, how do you continue to support the old blackout mode? You almost have to get rid of it, right?
Well, I mean, that's the point. That's the question.
How do you keep selling the blackout mode going forward is what I'm curious
about.
Well,
that's the thing, though. They keep it, as it stands right now, you can go to two or three generations back of Call of Duty games and still play multiplayer, and people do. So they don't kill that every year. And so I can't think of a reason they would here. There's going to be enough players to fill servers. I'm not worried about that. Like, when I played this the other day, I got in really early in the morning. It didn't seem to matter. There was just tons of people ready to roll.
The low was pretty quick. Yeah, the low was pretty quick for me, too. Every time now, I complained early on saying, oh, I got to wait for the low. But it's only like 10, 15 seconds.
Yeah, if that. My biggest problem is if you're bad at it, then you weren't in the game very long. So it feels like you... just barely got in, and now you're getting out again.
It takes more time to find to click through the I gotta spectate, or do I want to exit the game? I want to exit the game, and I have to hold down the circle button on the PS4 until it finally goes, okay, we're letting you leave now, and then the load screens. Mm-hmm. Speaking of the PS4, by the way, I have a PS4 Pro, and I'm a little bit disappointed in some of the screen loads. It's kind of jerky. I would think with a PS4 Pro, I would be experienced at the highest possible level, but there is some hiccups.
You mean just?
Like, I know it's early on.
When you say screen load, you mean like frame rate kind of thing, like a choppy
frame rate? Like it'll you know, you get your nice little I'm loading screen, and mine goes mine load no, and I'm load no, I'm thinking about it no, glitch stop.
Well,
nope.
That all could change over time with optimization and, you know, upgrades or whatever. I'm not having any of that on the PC, but you might, you know, you might expect that given the platform.
Right.
I don't know. I haven't, as far as I know, I haven't heard of any specific major issues with frame rates and stuff.
Yeah, not with frame rates, but there is one big issue that's on everybody's mind right now. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you used it. You played multiplayer mode. Only played just for a minute. I hopped in and did some specialist training on Ajax, which is the defensive player who has the shields and everything.
Right.
But I did not experience getting shot by anybody from hiding behind buildings that I was aware of. But there is this emote problem that everybody has seen. Have you seen?
No. What's the problem with the emotes?
Oh.
No.
Oh, okay. So like in Fortnite and other games, you get to do your little dance, your little emote. Problem is, built into multiplayer, the emote throws you through a external camera. And so like if you're standing at a wall somewhere and you're trying to see around it, instead of peeking around, you just do your little emote. And then you can see over the wall and get a little advantage because you can see the other players.
Oh.
So no risk. Because you don't have to stick your head out around the corner and go, oh, you're over there?
Yeah.
You just do your little dance, do your little emote.
They'll probably fix it.
They're fixing it.
Yeah.
They're already on it. They're fixing it, but I have not experienced that.
It's just an exploit. Like, everybody does that crap.
It is. Every time.
They'll find something dumb, and then they'll exploit it, and then it'll get patched out, and it's fine. But I didn't realize they actually had the emote stuff in here, because let me tell you something, Brian, about emotes. Let me tell you about... the number one feature of video games right now.
How do you feel about emotes?
The number one feature of video games right now that I could care less about, emotes.
Right.
That's the thing. I hate it. I don't care about it. I don't want it. I don't. At the end of a match, if I win, I don't need to do some kind of E-peen dance just to make everybody think I'm cool. I hate that so bad. So not interested.
So not into that. How about the camera mode that's in everything right now with the, you know, snapshot modes?
Oh, that's also dumb. All of it's dumb.
It's all dumb.
Yeah. Everything you just described.
It's all part of viral marketing, though, Scott. You know, it's like you need to catch cool little, you know, your Spider-Man
sure,
jumping and missing a plane or something. I mean, it's
fine, but I'm not I'm not catching the virus from the viral marketing.
Yeah, I'm not either.
I'm immune to it because I know how dumb it is. And I know what it is. It just promotes like people going, "Eh, look at me. My wiener's bigger than yours." I hate
Back in my day, the only emote we had was teabagging when you constantly went, "Stoop. Nope, I'm up. I'm up. I'm up."
Yeah, teabagging was a, again, not even part of the game. You didn't push a teabag button. You just knew how to teabag. That's some that's a proper use of your e-peen. Yeah, anyway, this game's pretty great. It's the most I've been interested in Call of Duty since forever ago. So So for me, they've at least accomplished that, right? Like, I usually don't care about the stuff that happens every year because I've played it all before. It's like, all right, what are you going to do? Show me something new. And even though Battle Royale is not new per se, their take on it feels real good, and I'm enjoying it. So I did the zombie thing for a little bit, by the way. I do not know what I'm doing in there. I know it's like a co-op progression thing, horde mode kind of game, killing floor style thing. I never really play these, the zombie modes in these games, and I know they're very popular, but I don't know where I'm at and what's going on, who that dude is or any of that stuff. So I just
the gameplay for Call of Duty Black Ops 4 is just as good, if not more refined and polished than it ever has been. I just feel like there's not anything tying it together, and it's kind of, it's still okay. It's fine. It's great. It's great. You just see but it's definitely playing to the people who are already there. I don't think this game is really sucking anybody in who's not already a huge Call of Duty fan.
Yeah. Maybe not. But those other modes are very much made for somebody who wants their traditional Call of Duty game experience.
I'm down with the zombie stuff. It looks cool. I was pretty impressed by everything. Just flowed really well. All the maps felt really well balanced. Everything felt like I could get to where I needed to be. I'd at least have some chance of not getting shot. Usually it was my own stupidity that got me there, instead of, you know, because I'm stuck on some hill because I can't get around it or something. I've experienced that many times. It's like,
I just don't know these maps. I don't know what the progression is. I don't know the best way to play the zombie maps. There's some fun, dumb story. It's all like, one map is like a bunch of Mad Max people, and one map's like a bunch of treasure hunters, and it's like themed and all that. Yeah. And I think that's cool, and I think that they're providing that to a very specific player, but I don't think it's me, because I don't like horde modes. I don't play horde mode in any video game. I just don't do it.
It's become its own thing with Call of Duty. So, yeah. I mean, you got to play it. You got to pay homage. You got to pay it to the fans. They got to get it.
Yeah,
you know,
I'll find some friends on PC who are willing to go through this with me, and we'll do it. And we'll give it a shot. We'll see what happens.
As soon as I get me some Black Ops 4 on the PC, because that's the reason why I rented it, because I wasn't 100% convinced, because I've done this so many times with Call of Duty in the past. Mm-hmm. I'll plop down my $60.
Right.
I'll come home. I'll play it for a weekend, and then I never come back.
Yeah. You got to taste it
first. And I didn't want to do that.
You got to taste it. Get a little taste. Get it around your tongue. Black Ops. Four Black Ops. Anyway, that's the game. We're playing.
I know what I didn't say. One last thing before we get off Call of Duty Black Ops.
Yeah.
I had to play with my old PS4 regular, not pro, controller.
Well, the controllers are the same, aren't they? What's different about controllers?
Well, no. The pro controller's a little bit nicer. It's a little beefier.
Are you sure? I thought those were identical. Are you sure?
They're not identical. Oh, no. Mine is not identical.
All right.
Maybe I got a really early generation PS4 regular or something. I don't know. Mine was not identical to the Pro, because the Pro just feels beefier and I want to lick it, but I'm not going to, because I remembered that my dog peed on it.
Yeah.
And I'm like,
Yeah.
So we have a little long-haired Chihuahua, and apparently my controller fell off my PS4 onto the floor. And he thought it was invading his territory, so he peed on it. And I didn't realize this for like a day. And I came back and I'm like, what's on my controller? And I pick it up. Oh, God, no. So I thought I could clean it, and I tried to clean it. It just wasn't happening. And so I guess it's now officially the guest controller. So if you're listening to this in the future, you're playing with the Dog Peak controller. You're welcome.
It says PS4 Pro.
Scott can't hear the P story because he's so busy.
I heard it. I thought I read that there was nothing different about these. And if there is, I'm going to be annoyed because I bought an extra controller and I would have preferred the newer-ish one if there was really a difference. Everything I'm reading all says they're the same, but
they're the same mechanically. But if you hold them up and look at them, the Pro controller that I have, once again, compared to the original PS4 that I purchased, it's beefier. It's just it's got a beefier feel to it.
Well, I like beef. It really is. I like beef.
Yeah, I like beef.
Yeah, nothing wrong with a little beef.
Because I can tell you right now, my old one, when I click the you know, you got a little click function on the touchpad.
Yeah.
When I click it, it goes clank clank clank. Jeez. But when I do on the new one, it's like
wow, didn't expect any of this. All right, next game up on the looky loo this week for me is a game called Endless Space 2. Now, here's the deal with Endless Space 2. What are you gonna say? You said,
I don't know, Endless Space 2.
Oh, you're getting excited. All right, here's the deal. So, Endless Space 1, I enjoyed, but I was terrible at and thought, okay, whatever, and I kind of forgot about it. Endless Space is a series of now two video games. They have a number of expansions, but they are a 4X space simulator, or basically civilization in space. And it's all about, you know, planetary exploration, take over a planet, colonize planets, exploit their resources, move on to the next star system, do the same there. Oh, look, pirates are here. Take care of the pirates. Now we get the planet. Oh, there are people living there and they're jerks and they want to kill us. So we better have enough military power to take down that planet. Like it's one of those turn-based play it forever kind of games.
So when people want to kill you, they're jerks.
They're jerks.
Okay.
When I want to kill them, it's divine providence. So, or some might call it manifest destiny. Anyway, so Endless Space 2, I've had for a long time, and I got it on a sale, and I knew I wanted to play it, but I just haven't given it a lot of my time. I dip my toe in a little bit and go, okay, I'm 12 turns in, but I got to go do something else because I'm busy or whatever. And I just wouldn't get back to it because it always felt like a big undertaking. I decided that because right now I am a seriously space hungry for space games, I just want them all right now, all the time. Whatever they are, I just want to play space games. I'd go through some of my ones that I had in my library and go, all right, well, what have I not messed with in a while? Here's Stellaris. Here's, you know, Rebel Galaxy. Here's all
those. Ooh, Stellaris. I forgot about that.
That game's pretty cool. Very different kind of game, though. But anyway, so I wanted to get back into this. And I also wanted something I could do at my own pace, which, you know, turn-based games, that's the whole point, is you're making turns. It's like playing chess. You got to, you know, take your turn and do your thing and whatever. And I got in and just really like genuinely looked at game systems and really paid attention to them for the first time playing it and went, okay, I see how this affects that. That's why I want to get that early. Like really paying attention to what strategies I might want to deploy for whatever the game conditions were. And I really like Endless Space 2. I think this is a really, really cool game. And absolutely worth playing.
So do I need to get this? Is this a
how do you feel about turn-based strategy games?
Well, I definitely prefer them when they're in space.
Well, I mean, my opinion is everything's better in space. I like space horror better than regular horror.
I like space.
Yeah.
I do like space. Space is good.
Space is good.
Yeah. I like space. You've never been to space?
No, but I want
to. Like you've never been to space.
I love science fiction, and space is a great part of that. Space and science fiction go together really well, turns out. And this game's full of that kind of stuff. It's a gritty universe. There's a lot of creepy, weird story going on.
Now, do I need to get the collection? The big one?
I mean, no, but I did because I wanted I want all the extra stuff. The thing with these 4X games, they tend to get better over time. Like they're really good out of the gate, but then there's some problems in the late game or whatever, some other issues. And then what they do is they end up patching it a bunch, and then there's always new content that kind of adds new balance to the game. This is true of Civ too. Civ's always been this way. So when you buy Civ 5, like count on Civilization 5 being really good on the third expansion. And good enough at launch. And that's kind of this here. I think it's just a way the genre goes. But I think all that stuff's really cool. And just generally speaking, I love the feel of it, the music, the sense that I'm exploring really weird worlds and far off places. But it's a handful. It's a handful.
How does the space sound? I want to hear some Foley work for.
Here's space. You ready? Here's what it sounds like in space.
Do it. Wow, that's
see. Good. Did you get that?
Actually,
yeah, it was pretty.
That's actually spot on. Yeah. Is that how they represent space and endless space too?
They have some muffled.
Or is it more one of those muted?
A little bit like that, except nobody's ever just floating around in space. But you have these space battles,
right.
And they play a little bit like Battlestar Galactica, where things are kind of muffled, like
right,
because that's how sound works in space. So it's not dead silent out there or anything, but
right.
It's really cool. The soundtrack's amazing, and it's got these great voiceover stuff and just really cool moments and just the way it feels. I just love how it feels. And that's what I'm aching for right now in my space games. I just want to feel.
I'm aching for the feels.
That's why I started.
Space.
That's why I started playing. Started up freaking EVE Online.
Yeah, you've been talking about this for weeks.
Yeah, and I mean, even EVE Online, it's just got this feel to it. I just love that feeling of just big open space and me trying to figure out what the hell I'm going to do in it. It's just a great thing. So I'm getting that from Endless Space 2 right now, and I'm really enjoying it. And I think it's actually on sale at the moment. Maybe not.
You would be incorrect. I am on istthereanydeal.com, and I'm looking for it. The current price is a little higher than I'm used to.
Mm-hmm.
If you want to get the Space 2 collection, which is all the DLC stuff, you can pick that up for about $54.99. I wouldn't do that. Historically low, though, it has gotten down to as little as around $17. So I put it on my list.
Mm-hmm.
And I am going to watch for this one to come around because I'm not ready to spend that kind of money.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm the guy that goes to the Red Box and rents Call of Duty Black Ops 4.
Yeah. No, so. I know who you are. I know what you're up to. Anyway,
me.
I think if you like turn-based games and 4Xs, this is a really good game. So I'm gonna
turn-based games. I say this like I'm in space, but I really do like turn-based games. The reason why I usually don't play them as much as I would like is because generally it's a lot of gameplay.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, how would you like to sit down for 3 hours? Okay.
And it is like that. Like you can go all night before you know it and you're like, oh my gosh, am I still playing this video game now?
No.
It's definitely a thing.
Hey.
Tell me about Dungeons 3, if you would, if you might.
Sure. It's the follow-up to Dungeons 2. Oh, wait. Oh. You wanted more information.
Yeah, more than
sure,
just that it's a sequel to the previous game. That'd be great.
Right. So I put down my PS controller for my PS4, and I headed out to my office where I keep my PC, and I played Dungeons 3. I picked it up this past month on the Humble Bundle monthly.
Wait, hold on. If you're looking around for controllers, will you say to people like the kids, where's the PS controller? Will you say that?
Yes, I will.
Okay.
And they're like, how do we know they're all the same, Father? Just the one that smells like pee.
Mm, well done.
And... Right. And so that's what happens there.
So,
Humble Bundle monthly. I do that every month, $12. Plus, you get $2 off in this Humble store whenever you do stuff. Plus, you get 10% off. But anyway,
it's stupid cheap, by the way. The Humble Bundle deal
stupid
is too good.
Cheap.
Yeah, it's good.
Yeah, it's really good. Dungeons 3. I wasn't going to get this, but Bombats on Twitter said, hey, man, did you see this? And he gave us some games to give away, by the way, at the end of the show, too, by the way. Good friend of the show.
Yeah.
Dungeon 3, he said, it is kind of cool. And I was like, all right, I'll try it. So it's if you play Dungeon Keeper?
Yeah, the old Bullfrog games, Dungeon Keeper was a big hit in the, I want to say, mid to late 90s. You built your own dungeons that then adventurers would come, and your job was to try to trap that thing up so bad that you'd kill all the adventurers when they came there. So you're basically just taking on the role of, you know, imagine you're it's Diablo. Imagine a Diablo game, but you're the bad guys trying to set up the demise of the adventurers coming to conquer you.
That's
the
a
idea.
Good description.
Yeah.
And that's what you have here as well. You have a heart of evil in the dungeon area where you are taking your snots is what they are. You're the evil one, and you're in control of the evil ones. And you're just a big hand, kind of like you ever played the Overlord. You ever played that game where you pick up your little people and you move them around, you slap them.
It's a god game basically.
It's a god game. So you're kind of like that guy. And so got some really cool narration too. By the way, I think it's the same guy who did the Bullfrog Dungeon Keeper.
It's entirely possible. It's not, yeah. I remember hearing something about people involved with Dungeon Keeper were also make this series or something.
It feels so good. It really does. And so while you're down there doing your dungeon, you're setting up your gold rooms, you're having your little snots run around. And by the way, each one of the snots have like snot names like Snooty and Snut and all these other words. And so they're running around and they'll dig where you tell them to, and they're looking for gold veins. They find gold veins, they can bring it back and you can collect money. And once you do that, you can start building yourself some Warcraft kind of creatures like orcs.
Yeah. I like, by the way, the big hand is basically like it's like the hand of Sauron.
It is like a big hand of Sauron. It's kind of got that. There's a lots of Lord of the Ring jokes in this. And I've never played the first or second dungeons, but I've heard that there's a lot of that humor styling. You know, it's like, oh, reference to this and reference to that. And there's a lot of inside jokes. And it's just pleasant enough. The jokes and the narration are just pleasant enough in the background to not quite get into annoying, but right on the edge. Right. It's like, did I just spend the whole day with dad and doing dad jokes? That's what it kind of feels like. It's just like those bad jokes and puns for days. But it's kind of charming.
I have this in my library and I'm just watching some video while you describe it, and it makes me want to go crack it open.
It is mega fun because while you're doing your Dungeon Keeper thing, which I've done in other games, that's a good game mechanic, but it combines it with this feel, because there's an underworld and there's an overworld. And once you create your orcs and all your little snots and everything, you can head up above land onto the overside, and you can go out and you destroy the village before they come get you, which they're doing, by the way. They're actually always trying to come into your dungeon and destroy you, but you're trying to get out there, because if you destroy certain objects, and this is only in the areas I've been, if you take over certain objects, it will start spewing evil, and that's a resource. So you got mana resources, evil resources, gold resources, these different resources that you're building because you're upgrading your warriors, your orcs, you're just upgrading everything as you're going along. Mm-hmm. So you're trying to collect at the same time as send out troops out there to cause havoc and to destroy the world. Basically, you start off and there's an evil that's supposed to be from Dungeons 2, never played it, and he comes to this island and he takes over a dark elf, possesses them, and so from there you kind of follow this story. It's kind of cute. Story's not really important. The gameplay is what's really great here. The gameplay is amazing.
Mm. I love these kind of games. I don't know why I've never cracked that one open. I've had the code forever. I just put it on my drive and then forgot about it. I need to get in there.
I'll be honest with you. I saw it. I saw it. I was not going to play it because some of the transition scenes with the animation is kind of ganky, and and the graphics, while okay, they're what they didn't grab me and go, oh my god, look at the great graphics on this game. So visually, it didn't really grab me. And then I heard a little bit of the audio, and I'm like, but it's really the gameplay that is really above everything else.
Right.
It really elevates this game to something that's actually worth playing.
All right, I'm in. I'm gonna play this game again because I already own it. I don't know why I'm not playing. What's wrong with me? You know why? Because I've been so obsessed with space games right now, and I'm still playing Odyssey, at least until Red Dead hits. So it's like I just can't think of anything else, and that's dumb.
It's like a week, isn't it? When is Red Dead? It's like it's
26th. So what is that? That's
2 weeks. Maybe.
2 weeks. About 2 weeks. Yeah.
2 weeks.
Just before I go to BlizzCon. Just enough time to cram a few days in, and boom.
Didn't this happen last time you got Red Dead 1 or something?
No, there's just always something. There's always something right before BlizzCon that comes out, and then I have to leave. I hate it.
Right.
I don't know what last year's was. I don't remember. It was something big, though, and then I had to go, and then that sucked, and then I came back, and I played it anyway. So it wasn't that big a deal. But
chat room ask, was it Dungeon Keeper 2 that was fun? Yes, it was. Dungeon Keeper 3? It was 2 that was good.
Was it?
Tyros X7 was asking that.
Oh, I thought 1 was all right. No?
Oh, 2. I 1 was all right. 2 was the good one, in my opinion, and 3 was.
I remember 3. I don't remember 3 at all. I know there was some crappy knockoffy iOS thing, an Android thing that existed a couple years ago that
maybe that's what I'm thinking of.
That made everybody mad because it was just like a free to play nightmare. Like, because imagine what they would do in there. Because you're really talking. It's basically
canceled. What?
No. Well, 3 may have been canceled. Canceled. But the iOS or the Android or mobile version was basically Sims Mobile. It was
right.
Build all the stuff, but then wait a long time, or buy some gems and have it hurry, like that kind of garbage. Yeah. Everybody was pissed. And this is a while ago now, but
wouldn't that be the height of evil?
It would be the height of evil. Welcome to the height of evil, everybody. Speaking of the height of evil, you are in the next game I'm going to recommend is a game that is actually old but new again. And you get to go to the height of evil and take him down because you're the height of goodness.
All right.
You're a ninja. And the game is called Mark of the Ninja.
You're a ninja.
Mark of the Ninja Remastered. If you existed in this world in 2012, you probably remember it. I don't know. Some people may not. But Clay Entertainment, who makes amazing games across the board. They've made some of my favorite games in a very long time. Started out as a very small indie publisher. Now they're, I think, a little bigger, but still small enough to make small titles. Made a game called Mark of the Ninja. And this was before they gained a bunch of fame for Don't Starve or Invisible Ink or some of the stuff they're working on now. They have multiple projects going on right now that are all very exciting. I have a feeling Mark of the Ninja 2 is probably going to get greenlit because this game, this thing's doing well out of the gate as a remaster. So anyway, this game came out in 2012. I think it maxed out at like 720p support. It was on PC and Xbox. I don't think PlayStation had it.
I think you're right.
Yeah, I think you're right. It is a 2D side-scrolling. If you want to think of what the levels look like, I mean, it's a little Castlevania, Metroid-ish. Yes. But the entire point of the game is sneaky stealth play. And like you would with a ninja, sneaking up on dudes, stabbing them when they're not looking, knocking lights out with ninja stars, having them go, "Oh, what's going on?" and then walk in a different direction and then kill them when they're not looking. Like they, as far as I'm concerned, they not only refined stealth, but they reinvented it in a 2D game that I'd never seen anything like it. I thought it was so good, and I played the hell out of it.
Because you're not a stealth fan. You're not a big fan of the stealth.
It depends. I like it when it's done right. I like Assassin's Creed stealth. I like this. And there's other examples. Oh, I like the Hitman game that came out a couple years ago. Oh, the sequel's almost done.
That's good. I thought you meant the movie.
No. The movie sucks buttholes.
Multiple holes of the butt?
Yeah, both movies suck buttholes. There are two of them, if you recall. There was a terrible first one and then an even worse second one. But anyway, Mark of the Ninja is awesome. And the remastered is, it looks incredible in 4K, as you would expect. Gone are any sort of load times that may have existed in 2012, which isn't that long ago. But,
right.
It holds up incredibly well. It is not the kind of game that needs much done to it to make it a modern remastered re-release. And I find myself completely enraptured by it once again. It's got all kinds of personality and adventure and fun, and the mechanics are a riot. And as you upgrade your dude and find better ways to dispatch your enemies or sneak around or lay traps or whatever, it just gets better, 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 and better. I've said this before, but I'll say it again, if this matters to anyone, how I feel. There were two games of the year, or two games of the generation in the previous generation, that being whatever was available during the 360 PS3 era and PCs and all of that. And those two games were Red Dead Redemption 1 and this, in that order. Right, like, that's how much I like it. It's my second favorite game of that time. And I know that, you know, I may be, you know, the exception or something, or maybe somebody's not going to find reasons not to like this, but I think it's brilliant and fun and exciting and intense and really makes you think. It's almost like a puzzle every time you walk into a room, but a good kind of puzzle, not a poopy puzzle.
Not one of those puzzles you know just missing a piece. It's not one of those kind of puzzles,
not
man.
Not those kind. I hate those kind.
So if you owned the original, did they automatically upgrade you to the remastered version?
Well, I'm glad you asked. No, but they recognized me as owning it already and gave me a discount. So if you bought the game, if you buy it new, it's like, you know, $29 or whatever, and worth every penny, I should say. But since I already owned it, they offered a $4 upgrade. So it's just $4, right, which I am happy to give them $4. Zero problem with that.
I'm glad because the standard price is $19.99, but I don't need it because I own the original. So $4.99 is.
Did you play it? Because it's so good, dude. It's so good.
Dude, yeah, I play Mark of the Ninja, you know, like according to my records, 0.1 hours played. So obviously,
0.1
I hours. Had a blast. I must have it somewhere else. I played it way more than that.
Yeah, you might. I beat it, and I don't always right. beat a video game. But when I do, it's one I really love, and I love this game so much. And I'm playing right. it through again, and I'm going to beat it again because I liked it that much. You know, in terms of like, what's really weird to me is that they've made all these other games, and I would have thought this would have been a sequel by now,
right?
Because I just loved it so much, and I know that critically everybody loved it. The question is, did it sell well? I don't know. Everything they've attempted to make, I think, has been excellent. They're really good at like taking a genre and turning it on its head, and I always get excited about news from them. Like, ooh, we're working on this new thing, and I get super stoked about it. So, even though this is old, I feel like this could mean a future where there is a sequel to this game, and that would be amazing because, again, it's worth it. It's a worthy game worthy of a sequel.
We're not worthy.
So if it's only $19, dude, nobody has an excuse. If you're just sitting around going, man, and well, by the way, also it's everywhere. So this is on the Switch now, PS3, yeah. PS4, Xbox One, PC, like anywhere you want to play it. This would be a perfect Switch game. And I would have picked it there.
I think it's a little bit more on the Switch, which makes me sad.
24, I think, on Switch.
24.
Yeah, that sounds about right, though.
Yeah, I guess I'd spend the $5 on the PC and do it then.
Yeah, just spend the. It's the most worth $5 you'll ever spend. It's so dumb.
Oh,
stupid.
Come on, Scott! Don't oversell it.
I'm selling it, and it's underselling it even then because it's Mark really one of the greatest games. Oh my gosh, I love these guys because of this game, and I was so excited when Invisible Ink came out. I went, I'm getting that game. Why?
Right.
Because it's Clay Entertainment, and they make great games. Like I feel like it's a developer that's like, one day we're all going to look back on it and go, oh, remember when they were just this small company making these things, and we're going to remember just how freaking great they were.
And if you watch during the big Steam sales, they will often have a Clay sale, and there is not a bad game. Sometimes I don't like buying, you know, a developer's entire library because I'm like, there's going to be a few in here, but there's nothing wrong with Oxygen Not Included. I love Don't Starve, even though it frustrates you. Invisible Ink, great. Hot Lava. This is a new open beta that I've been kind of keeping my eye on. I haven't actually went through with it yet, but it looks interesting.
It's like a 3D shooter perspective.
Yeah, like you're playing as a toys, like plastic G.I. Joe kind of guys.
Yeah, I can't quite tell what, but I just know that they'll do a good job. I mean, even in Don't Starve, which is their stab at sort of survival games, they do really, really inventive, cool things in that game. Mm-hmm. It's just, I don't like survival games, period. Even they couldn't fix that for me. Otherwise, I think I would probably love that game, but I just don't like survival games. I don't like a game where I'm hungry all the time. Freaking hate that. Don't make me hungry.
Because it reminds me I'm really hungry in real life.
Yeah,
I don't like it. I like Hunger Games. Not the movie. Well, the book was okay, but
yeah.
I like the games where you have to be mindful of so many things.
And most of the chat room's having a discussion about them using the style they're using. They've used this kind of art style, which I assume is because of their art director or somebody there who kind of defines this, but that kind of angular 50s, 60s looking cartoon art is absolutely throughout their games. Their original games, Shank 1 and 2, which you and I played way back in the day on YouTube or something.
Yeah, we did. It was so much fun.
Yeah, Shank was kind of a side-scrolling beat-em-up sort of game, which was also really good, and that was kind of their big first foray into this stuff, but that used a very similar style. This was their next big follow-up to that. Invisible Ink uses that style. Yeah. Oh, Invisible. I'm going to play Invisible Ink later. When I even just think about it, it makes me want to play it. That's my 2015 game of the year.
It's a little bit different style, but man, I loved the energy they brought to Deathspank. That was such a fun.
Oh, was that them? Did they do Deathspank? Was that them?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that was them.
You sure that's them? Wasn't them? That was them.
No, that's somebody else. Hold on. Death.
Nah, I think you might be right. Spank. That wasn't. Yeah, it was. No, it wasn't. You're right.
Let me look. Death Bank on Steam. This is Death Bank, known as Death Bank, Orphans of Justice, comedy action role-playing game. This
not
is
Klee.
Not Klee. Yeah, this is Ron Gilbert.
Not Klee.
Hothead Games. Different game.
But it's good.
It's a good game.
Regardless.
Sure. Yeah, go play that too, I guess, if you want. Anyway, what was my point? 2015's best game of the year, Invisible Ink. Who knows what they'll do in the future, but you needs to be playing Mark of the Ninja Remastered, PC, Switch, and consoles available now. Brian, tell me about Merchant.
Oh, I'm going to tell you about the Merchant. This week when I got through playing on my PC, I hopped on my mobile device, Android in this case, and went to the Google Play Store and picked up Merchant. It is, you ever been playing, you know, an RPG game and you're like, you're out hero questing, doing your thing, and you're like, hey, what's going on, guys? And you know, you're collecting stuff and you have to go back to town. You have to meet up with the merchant.
Yeah, sure.
Where you'll make trades and stuff, and you'll buy, sell, that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. Well, this game is all about the merchant. So if you're curious what he does while you're heroing, this is what he does. He does kind of a tycoon thing. He's a merchant tycoon is what he is. And it's all about handling your stock, managing it, selling, buying the stock, if you need to make a potion. He's also a potion maker, so he can make certain potions, but he's got to have the right ingredients. And what he does to get those ingredients is he either waits for someone to come into the shop, and this is all easily laid out on the screen. So it's just like when you visit a merchant, it's all right there in your face. There's not like a lot of looking around. You got a merchant standing looking at you.
Mm-hmm.
Like a big dummy.
Yeah.
So same thing. So it's like dealing with that micromanagement of things. And so, you know, there's people coming in and buying and selling products, and you purchase, sell, create, and you also give quest.
Mm.
So you tell your hero.
Oh, so you're like the NPC sort of here.
You kind of are.
Okay. All right.
Yeah. So in order for you to keep your store thriving, you will hire out a hero. And you will give that hero a quest, which is on a tree. And it's kind of like, oh, I'm going to send him on this quest because I know if he beats that golem or if he beats that tree creature, he's going to bring back wood, bark, so I can make, wood and bark kind of things. I can make, some wooden swords, some clogs maybe.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, you also send them off to, fight in like mountains and things where they can get some iron, that kind of thing. So you just kind of send these guys off and they'll take and it'll fight off screen. And this is a tycoon game, so everything's a click and wait. Mm-hmm. So you click it, wait it, but you flip over and multitask while you're waiting on that to happen. Mm-hmm. Head back over to your hero. He comes back and you get a report on how he did, what happened, and what he collected. And you take that material and you go back and you build stuff. And then you build armor and then you go back over and you sell it to your hero or you sell it to the people coming in. It's all about the merchant.
Mm-hmm.
And I had a good time with it. I was thinking, but this is like the worst part of most games.
I just downloaded it, by the way. I'm playing it. Or not playing it, but I just downloaded it. Seems neat. I like this kind of game.
It is neat. It's real low pixel. It's very simple and it's just, it keeps you hopping though, man. I mean, I feel like I really have to think about things while multitasking here. Some of these tycoon games don't feel like that at all. They just feel like, oh, I know I got to go click, that box 20 times, and then it'll bump me up to the next thing. No, you have to actually do a little bit of consideration while doing.
Well, I actually am. I've grown tired of clickers. I don't like clickers anymore. I'm kind of sick of them.
Right.
Where you just. Stuff's just happening and you just do upgrades and it keeps happening and it's fine. But I like this where you're a little bit more micromanaged and you have to make
nothing
the thing.
Happens when you leave.
Yeah.
Nothing.
Yeah. You got to come back. You got to check it out. Go, oh, we're out of potions. Make some potions.
If you go home to make love to the wife and, and feed the kids and stuff.
Yeah.
Not necessarily in that order. Nothing happens at the store.
Yeah.
You don't have an assistant or anything like that. No,
that's no good.
No, it's no good at all. Merchant on the Google Play Store. Did you pick it up on the iOS?
Yeah,
is that
it's
where
on
you
iOS as well. It's free. They have in-game purchases if you want them. I don't know what those are yet. No ads, as best I can tell, which is good. I hate ads.
I saw no ads. There are some encouragements to purchase items. I have not done that.
Yeah.
I have.
Because you're cheap. So you're not going to do that. I understand.
Yeah. I am cheap, but I don't mind supporting a good game. And if I keep a game 1 or 2 weeks, I'll start thinking about do I want to put money into this game? Yeah. But if I've only had a game for a week, forget it. Give me my money.
Quick note. Someone in the chat says they have never heard of Invisible Ink until now. How did I miss that one? You owe it to yourself. You owe it to yourself to go get Invisible Ink and play the living hell out of it. And they have a, I don't know if it's on anything other tablets, but it's, they have a tablet version for the iPad, and it's amazing on there. I went and bought that too. I bought that game twice. Three times, I'm sorry. I bought it on, no, that's not a third platform. I can play it on the Mac is what it was, but it's the same purchase on Steam. Anyway, I got it on Steam, and it is infinitely playable. It's a roguelike, but a turn-based like strategy roguelike. Like if you like XCOM and you want to mix that in a little bit with other genre, it's so good.
It's game of the year,
2015's game of the year.
Merch it.
I can tell game you right now, best game of the year, 2015, Invisible Ink, in my opinion. Best movie of the year, Mad Max Fury Road. Okay.
What? Is that this year, 2018? I don't think that's right.
2015. 2015.
Oh, 2015.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I'm telling you all the best things of 2015.
Oh.
Invisible Ink, Mad Max Fury Road, television would have been Fargo, and what's another medium? What was the best?
Favorite Subway sub by your Subway artist.
I don't like Subway, but I do like Potbelly. So best sandwich making place of 2015, Potbelly's. Done.
Perfect.
Nailed it.
Done.
Time for this.
There. Aren't you glad you tuned in?
Yeah. Aren't you glad you tuned in now so that you could hear me play this twice?
The best of 2015 in October 2018.
It's always good to look back. Can't always be forward. Okay, we're going to play a little game called Guess My Game, and that's audio that Brian and I play to each other and try to get each other to guess what it is. For example, I'm going to play this one from me to see if Brian can figure it out. I think it's too easy, but we'll see. It may be so easy, it like actually is one of those things that will make your brain hurt and you'll not think of it.
Mine is way easier. Go ahead.
All right, here it is. See if you can figure it out.
Well,
that's the whole clip.
It sounds like I'm on a light cycle.
You got it. Do you know the name?
And I am playing Tron.
Tron is correct. Congratulations. Well done.
My favorite, I did like the light cycles.
Yeah. What was your favorite mode, though, if you like those?
I like the light cycles, but at the arcade, light cycles at home was great. Gave you lots of time to play and get better, kind of learn how to be even better at Snake Duel almost.
Sure.
At the arcade, I did like my flying disc. I like my flying disc.
Oh, yeah. Flying disc was pretty good. The one I liked the least was the tank one. It was a bad knockoff of combat.
Yeah,
it just didn't feel good.
I didn't like that one.
All right, well, there you go. Well done. I forgot what year that was, 83 or something. But yeah, Tron, everybody, Tron. All right, here comes Brian's. I have not heard this yet, so this is my first time. Here we go. Oh. The Shishing is very familiar, like a very specific game. I don't think I know.
Oh, I thought I was leaving in too much of it, the sound. I tried to clip out some parts.
Yeah.
I'll give you a hint. It was a tycoon game.
Okay. Wait, let me listen. Oh, I think I know. This is Roller Coaster Tycoon.
Absolutely.
Oh,
Roller Coaster Tycoon.
Oh, that hurt to get it out of me. You know what it was?
It was hard. It was hard to pick things that weren't the roller coaster because, I mean, it was like constantly audio of roller coasters going, zoom, zoom.
Yeah, that would have given it away if I'd heard more of those. But I thought I was hearing chickens and stuff. I'm like, wait, why are there chickens here?
Yeah. Oh, speaking of chickens, if you go back and you play Dungeons 3, there's actually chickens you have to grow too.
Oh, look at that.
Pretty annoying.
Okay.
Yeah.
Grow some chickens. I like it.
Grow some chickens.
All right, everybody. It's time for a quick news story for the week. This from Mashable. Messages with unrecognized characters are breaking the PlayStation 4 consoles.
No.
Oh, hacker majacker going on here. PlayStation 4 people, lock down messaging on your account pronto. There's a new kind of malicious message being reportedly floating around the PlayStation network. Makes the whole console crash. Recovery is possible, but it's not as simple as power cycling the machine.
Mm.
There are a bunch of steps that have to be taken. Word of the problematic message appears to have surfaced first on Reddit. Of course, it's always there.
That's great.
In a post titled "Warning: Set your messages to private." Let's see. Describes a scenario where this player got their whole team booted out of Rainbow Six Siege match after they all received a message containing an unrecognized character. Remember this? This was a thing that was Apple patched it really quick, but there was an iPhone iMessage thing that if you sent a certain thing and you looked at the message, it locked your phone. Like, you could never use messages again. Same kind of deal. They just figured out a way to do it. That's been patched. This will be too, but at the moment.
Oh yeah, absolutely. But I'm going to go ahead because I'm playing Call of Duty Black Ops, and man, if there's ever been a place that people would like to pull a jack move,
might be there. One. Yeah, no kidding. I mean, I doubt the PC is susceptible to it, but maybe it is. Oh, anyway, one team member, he says only one team member of this group that was hit that day were not affected, and they said that's because he keeps his PSN messaging set to private, which I think I already have, but I'm going to check after the show to make sure.
I'm going to check mine as well.
Yeah.
I've been thinking about it all day when I read it. I haven't had a chance to get in there.
That's kooky crazy is what that is.
I read it.
Get it? Do you get it? That's pretty good.
I get. Oh, that's what it means.
Yeah, that's what it means. Oh. Don't forget. All right, time for us to do an email. Got an email here from Crazy Sturgeon. Sorry. His real name's Curtis. I love the name Curtis. I don't know why.
I like Crazy Sturgeon better.
You like that? Right? You don't want one, though.
Yeah, it's both bad, I guess.
You don't want a Crazy Sturgeon, but you'll happily call someone that. Anyway, it says, hey, Scott and Brian, I just want to get your opinion. Excuse me, on the arcade 1-up 3/4 cabinet cabinets that are coming out, arcade cabinets.
Oh, yeah.
Scott, since you grew up with arcade cabinets in your life, are you excited? Is this something you guys are going to get? I have the Street Fighter 2 pre-ordered. I saw that they were going to possibly do cocktail tables as well. Looking forward to your response. Curtis, way ahead of you, buddy. I bought the Joust one the day they announced them. Because they're only $2.99. And it's
and you can pick even one of these up at even Walmart, apparently. So
that's where they were originally going, I think. And then they let you do online pre-orders, which is what I did. I'm supposed to have that by now, in fact. What's the deal?
I was a little concerned. I want to get this. Yeah, I'm very interested. Absolutely.
Yeah.
But I never when I saw it, I was like, oh, this is going to be cool. But I really want to see one in person before I get it because it says it's supposed to be 4 foot. I don't know. I don't know. I'm just a little bit wary. I gotta see it first. I'm excited about the idea. The idea is great.
Okay, here we go. Yeah, see this. Now that I realize, I should have had this by now. Oh, no. Sorry, 10/16. I'm getting it tomorrow. I'm getting it tomorrow.
You should have read this next week.
I'm so excited. Okay, tomorrow I get it. It's the Rampage Arcade. It's the Rampage edition. I don't even a big fan of Rampage. Oh. Don't really care about Rampage, but Joust Rampage is on it. And you know what we're all going to do anyway, right, Brian? You know what we're going to do.
Yeah, we're going to mod it. First thing.
First thing I do is I'm modding this and putting every MAME game I can find on it.
Duh.
I'm excited. $300 is a pretty good deal. Anyway, they're on back order now. So if you want a new one, you're going to have to.
It's supposed to. Is it 3/4 the size of a standard arcade, right?
Yeah, it's pretty. It's
close.
It's close, but small. For sure, it's smaller, yeah.
Yeah.
Which is kind of cool in its own way. So anyway, yeah. I'm excited. I'm going to have it right here, corner of my office, make it part of the motif in here. It's going to be awesome. Very excited. Thank you for the reminder, Crazy Sturgeon. If you'd like to email us, you can. Boopshow@gmail.com.
Like a crazy sturgeon.
Boopshow@gmail.com. By the way, I've learned with some 15 years of knowing Brian Dunaway that you can't, if there's a word from a song and you say it, he'll sing it. There's no.
I have to.
Yeah. There's no stopping him. There's no like preempting it. Like if you do it, he'll sing it. So.
Yeah. If I keep it in. it gives me the gas.
Yeah, you keep it in, you're going to have a big impacted fecal wall or whatever.
Yeah. Fecal wall. That's what I need.
Nobody wants fecal wall, trust me. that's it for your emails, and that's it for the show. Now, if you stick around toward the end of the show, and we recommend that you do, you will be favored with some free codes we're giving out today. In fact, I'm going to
free codes now
to the Nightbot.tv app so that I'm not doing that last second.
We're going to get some cool stuff, too. I got a couple of things left over from the Humble Bundle. So, yeah, if you're listening and you have never tuned in live, we do this Monday at 3:30 Mountain Time, 5:30 Eastern Time, thereabouts. Mm-hmm. We do give away game codes after the show. And I have a few myself from Steam.
Yeah. So what you want to do, though, is type some things here so that
you've already stopped recording.
No, we're recording still. I'm just saying do it now so that when we get there, we're all set. I usually wait too long to do this. So if you start typing something now, say something. If you are interested in being a winner today, I need you to say stuff in the chat so that you show up in the winner's box or the potential winner's box. It's just the way that this bot works. So you got to do that. All right. So that's all happening. Boopshow@gmail.com is our email address. Frogpants.com/boop is the website. And you're thinking, you know, I need a place where I can go find all the archives of this show I've heard for the first time. Well, good news. It's all right there. Frogpants.com/BOOP on Twitter. We're at Boop Show. Brian's at The Brian Dunaway. I'm at Scott Johnson. And you can also find our Reddit page, boopshow.reddit.com. And I think that's it. Brian, any final thoughts before we go?
I can't believe it.
That's the old phrase. I can't believe it. I'm with you there, buddy. Boy, amen, brother.
Right.
All right. That's going to do it for us. Thank you all for listening. We'll be back next week with a brand new show. We hope to see you then. Take care.
This show is part of the Frog Pants Network.
Frog Pants Network.
Get more shows like this at frogpants.com.
I don't like Steam.